Please turn with me tonight to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7. Matthew, chapter 7, verse 24. The words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew 7, verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And in verse 28, when the people heard these sayings, they were astonished. No surprise that they were astonished, they were amazed, because the Lord Jesus Christ, remember, this is the master preacher, the king of preachers, but also this is the Lord Jesus Christ, the physician of souls, the doctor of souls. But this is also the master architect. We tend to forget that the Lord Jesus Christ was a carpenter. That was his profession. But please, carpenter, not just in relation to wood, but to construction, to building. So the master architect. So tonight, we come to this record, to this account, or if you may call it this parable, from verse 24 to 27, and my title is simply A Tale of Two Lives. I know there are many titles given to this parable, two houses, two builders, and so on, but Christ is not only speaking about building, he's speaking about spiritual lives. How can I have a solid foundation, irresistible foundation, solid foundation? So that's really what we see here. And in this account, you find two kind of hearers, two kind of men, the wise one and the foolish one. We will explain that. You find also two kind of houses. But lives, that's really what I want you to be looking at. Not just a building, but your life, my life. But you have also two kind of builders. And you have two foundations. What is your foundation in this life and in the life to come? And we shall also see that there are two ends. The finality, the destination, the destiny. There are two kinds also. So your life and my life is really likened like to a house. Your life is a building block. From the day you are born until your last breath in this world, your life is under daily construction. I'm sure you know that. Every day you wake up, you are under construction. You do certain things, you do not do certain things. You try to order your own life. You remove disorder. You try to look further and so on. Every day under construction. And that's why the question is, on what and how are you building your life? Upon what? Yourself? Earth? Sand? Shifting sands? Or something more solid, something which is eternal? My dear friends, there is this life and there is the hereafter life. You want it or not, that's what the Bible says, and because the Bible said it, it is true, because this is the word of God. So we can spend some time looking at this great parable taught by the Lord Jesus Christ, and it is well known, and I believe it is applicable to Christians. If you have ever come to the Lord Jesus Christ, it is applicable to you. It is applicable also to many among us tonight who are unconverted. They have never repented, but they are churchgoers. That's great. Very good. I'm really pleased for you. But you see, to be a churchgoer and remaining unconverted, Christ says that is foolishness. That's how he qualified. But as I said, we will explain that term. It is not at all belittling. It's a warning, really, behind the term. It's something which should strike us and really shake us, resuscitate us, and awake our dormant souls in order to see what's the purpose of life, what is the goal of this life. Is it just to study? As a young person, to study, to work, to find a job, to work hard, and then to found a family, and then death, time goes so fast, death comes and knock at the door. It is the king of terrors, and when it comes, your life is built on what? What will remain if you are called tonight? What will remain? What will you leave behind you? What will people remember you for? So, it is applicable also to those who have never even thought about the reality of life, the real issues of life. Please, I want, if I could just change your mind, this is not just a nice story said to children in Sunday school. It's more than that. It is a matter of life and death. And actually, if you read it carefully, this is not just a story because it doesn't have a happy end. Normally, we will expect a happy end for any nice story. Look at in verse 26 what is said about the end of the story. I beg your pardon, verse 27. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house. Look at no happy end. And it fell and the fall was great. The crash was so great and big. It was a tragedy, it was a disaster. So not a happy end. But as you see, verse 24, you find that word, therefore. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. So I have five things, very simple. We go through the parable and we will explain as we move forward. And the first thing I would like to put before you, the two hearers and the two men, we put them together. Two hearers, two kind of hearers, and two men. But this parable is mentioned in the Gospel of Matthew and in the Gospel of Luke. There are some small differences. If I could quickly just explain them in one sentence. In Matthew here, we are given the idea that the two men chose different sites, different locations. But now, when you come to the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 6, the end of the chapter, it is said the same two men, they are the same, but now Luke is emphasizing on what they did on the two sites. So one is drawing our attention on the two different sites, while the other one is bringing our attention to look at what they did, how did they work, what happened when they were building the house. So that is something just to draw your attention on in terms of introduction. So they both, the two builders, the two men, the two hearers, they hear the same words. Like you and me, you are hearing the same words tonight. They heard the same words of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were given the same plan. They received the same instructions in the same place at the same moment. Maybe some of them, it's just my imagination, my speculation actually, but if I may be speaking to you, maybe some of them, like you and me, were churchgoers. In that time, they will go to a synagogue. Maybe they listened to sermons. There were great rabbis in the time of the Lord Jesus Christ. So people nowadays will listen to many, many sermons. By the way, listening to many sermons have never made anyone a Christian. People are saying, we want sermons. But what are you doing with one? What are you doing with the second one? What are you doing with the third one? And more you hear, more your responsibility is greater before the living God. So maybe most of them also, those people will be reading the Bible, like us. We read the Bible. So they go to church, they hear sermons, they read sermons, and they also maybe they read the Bible. That time they will read the Old Testament. The 39 books of the Old Testament were available, and people could read them in the synagogues or in the temple. But now, these two men or two hearers, we do not know what is their color. We are not given their names. It doesn't matter. We are not told if they are rich or poor. We are not told if they were educated or non-educated. What is their nationality? All those details are not given to us. But here is the point. We have a detail which is very, very important for you and me. One is qualified of being wise, and the other one is qualified of being foolish. And I will explain. Please, in the biblical language, in the Bible, to be a fool or to be foolish doesn't mean to be uneducated or to do silly things. That's not the meaning. The meaning is deeper than that. A foolish person in the Bible is someone who doesn't believe in God. He says there is no God. A foolish in the Bible is someone who hears the word of God and does nothing about it. He does not act. He says, oh, this is not for me. This is just preachers who are trying to kill our joy. They don't want me to have fun. That's a foolish person in the Bible. And that's why the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 1 verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. I'm quoting that, which means a person who doesn't fear God means he is a fool. That's the beginning of foolishness. A fool is someone who hears the word of God but does nothing about it. Then the wise person, he is not wise because he is so intelligent or he has a pedigree or many PhDs or diplomas. That's not the meaning in the word of God. A wise person, according to James, the book of James, is somebody who hears the word of God, believes in it, and obeys it. The hearer is only a hearer. But the wise man, the fool is only a hearer, but the wise man wants to do according to what God has said in his word. So the second thing I would like to put before you after the two men and the hearers is the two houses. The two houses are similar. We are not told what kind of material, top material, they have used in order to build their house. We don't know. Or even what shop they bought their material. We do not know. But the point made in this parable, look at it again. We are given some details when it comes to what they have done. In verse 24, it says there, he built, the wise man built his house upon a rock. And look at verse 26, you will see the contrast now. The foolish man, verse 26, built his house upon the sand. You see the difference? That's the difference we are told about the two houses so far. But at first sight, when you look at it outwardly, the two houses are similar. They look exactly the same. And if you look at it outside, you stand there, you will say, a nice house. It's beautiful. And you will say, it is well decorated. I could see the decoration. The ornament is marvelous. Maybe they have pillars or porticos. I don't know. It's beautiful. And if you stand there, you will think, this is the best house in the world. Remember, the house is your life. You are young, you are strong, handsome or beautiful. I don't know what qualification I should put on you or on myself. But you see, we are all similar, Bible says. We have all come into this world on this earth. We build our house on this earth. And you are caught in the horns of a dilemma if you have to choose between the two houses because they are so similar. And as I said, if building and construction is not your cup of tea, there is no way. A profan like me who doesn't know anything about building, we didn't know what is the difference between the two houses. And I'm sure you too, because a foundation is hidden. It is not something visible to the eyes. It is there. So that's the great difference between the two houses. But now we come to the third, the two foundations. And here Luke tells us that the wise man digged deep down and he laid down his foundation on the rock. while the foolish man, please, the words are very important. In Matthew, the foolish man built his house on the sand. But in Luke, we are told that the foolish man built his house on the earth. Sinking earth, sinking sand. Which means, again, I'm sure you know, you can see the difference. Christ is not just telling us about houses. He's telling us your life needs to be built on the rock. Don't build your life on earth. Don't build your life just on sand. Why? Because sand represents in the Bible laziness, easiness. It represents man's righteousness. It represents man's good efforts in order to please God. You know, that's why many do not find the Lord, because they take things very lightly, very casually. They do not understand that one day we shall all stand before the living God. You will give account before God. You may deny that. You may say, this preacher is telling me nonsense. But I can guarantee you that there will be that final standing before the living God. And that day we will give account to all things we have ever said, we have ever thought, and we have ever done. And believe me, there will be no bribing. No bribing. The judgment will be righteous, done by the righteous God. The two foundations, and you can see again, the sand represents man's ideas, man's ideology, man's philosophy, well-presented theology. This is what is happening in this world. And you can see sand represents also our good works. Is there someone here who thinks that his good works can open the way to heaven? Never. Never. If not, why Christ died on the cross of Calvary? Because he knew no mountain of good works we could ever have done in this life will give us an entrance into heaven. That's why the Bible says, ye are saved by grace through faith, not by good works, so that no man can boast before God. If it was by works, we will boast. We are human. We brag about so many things. But nobody will brag. Nobody will be in heaven chest up, humble there, because it's only by grace we enter into heaven. But the fourth, we spoke about the two hearers, the two men. We spoke about the two houses. We spoke about the two foundations. And now look at the two ups and downs. Very important, because the two houses were exposed exactly to the same weather conditions. Rains, floods, winds. We don't need even to elaborate that. Because in this life, you and me in this body, we will face the trials of life. These are the storms of life. But when you face them, on what are you standing? Some people will face bereavement. Some people will face sickness, illness. Some people will face unemployment. Some people will face betrayal by a good friend. Some people will face death. Some people will face many, many things. Endless list of things we are facing in this life. And I'm sure, you know, we may face temptations. So many temptations day after day, and misunderstandings in this world, tears, disobedience of children, dishonoring, evil things happening in this world. Oh, I could carry on with the list, but you know, the storms of life, the question is, what are you going to do when you face those things? If you do not have an advocate, a savior, who can stand for you and who can say to God, this child is mine. I have paid the price of his sins on the cross of Calvary. And this is what the Lord Jesus Christ has done on the cross, at Calvary there. But please, before I mention the fifth point, my dear friends, the Lord Jesus Christ is not giving us this parable to teach us how to build a building professionally. He's speaking about how to have spiritual life, how to be forgiven. I remember for 22 years how I was under the guilt of my own sins, I was praying, a good Muslim. I was giving alms. I was doing everything the religion was asking me to do. But deep down in my heart, I was miserable. I was an unhappy person. And the fear, I knew one day I shall stand before the living God. That's why that day when I was reading alone the Bible, the book which I have burned came and burned my heart. Alone, nobody was preaching to me. Yes, a cousin witnessed to me 3 years before. But alone, on that day, reading the New Testament, the genealogy was the first thing which attracted me to read the Word of God. And in Matthew 11, verse 28, Christ said, come unto me. And I stood up alone there. I knew something new has happened in my life. And I said, Lord, if this is for me, this is my invite. I come, Lord. I didn't know anything about the Bible. I couldn't explain it. So this is why Christ is not telling us just how to build a house. It's about your spiritual life. Why am I saying this? Because earlier, I wish I have time to elaborate, but earlier, you remember last Sunday in the evening, we spoke about the narrow gate. The straight gate, the narrow way to lead you, and the wide and the broad way which leads to destruction. And later he speaks about the two trees, the bad tree which didn't give fruit, and that tree was cut down and burned. Then he spoke about the two claimers, people who say, Lord, Lord, but they have never repented, they have never trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. They thought their good works will give them advantage and credibility before God, but now they are told, depart from me, and they are cast away into the lake of fire. And now the Lord Jesus Christ comes to you and me and say, listen carefully. On what have you built your house to remind us that one day we will give accountability of everything we have done in this life? What is your foundation? Are you wise or foolish? And you know, my dear friends, when the Lord Jesus Christ says you are a fool, you are really a fool. I may say it, it doesn't count. It means nothing to you. But when Christ says it, it is real. So it should make us to think. Will you live only for this world? This world is passing by. This world is just ephemeral. What folly could it be? Could be greater than building your life on sinking sand? No hope, no God, no spiritual life. You know, if you don't have spiritual life, and I'm saying this politely, I don't know if I could say it with compassionate heart or loving heart, but you know, if you don't have spiritual life, Bible says you are just like an animal. But you know, I'm sure you know, we are million miles and times superior than animals because God created us in his image with a soul. That soul will never be in peace unless it is resuscitated and it is given life by the living God. That's why week after week we plead with you, we reason with you, we argument with you, we try to convict you, to convince you, come to Christ, come to him. He died on the cross of Calvary, not because he has ever committed any sin, but because he loves millions in this world who will repent. And he said on that cross, it is finished. He said on that cross that it is finished. All the work of salvation has been finished on that cross. So you come to him tonight. You can go out from this house knowing that all your sins are forgiven because of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the fool sees only now, the present. But fifthly, look at the two ends. Oh, the big difference. The two ends, the destination makes the difference. What are the two ends? Please look with me. The unspotted difference is now crystal clear. In verse 25, what happened to the wise man? What happened to his house in verse 25? And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not. It fell not. Why? For it was founded upon a rock. But look at verse 27. What happened to the foolish man's house and how his building in verse 27? And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. In Luke chapter 6, it is said that it fell immediately. Immediately. There was no lapse of time. Immediately, as soon as the rains and the floods and the winds started to blow, the house fell down. Oh, it was washed away. And the house, which was so beautiful, what a waste. Now, what happened? What happened? Whose fault is it that the one fell and the other one stood? The fundamental difference is that the one was built on sand, fell, and the other one was built not on a rock, but on the rock. Please, this is very important. On the rock. Later in Matthew chapter 16, the Lord Jesus Christ will speak to his disciples. I'm sure you know the record there. And he will ask them, who do you say I am? And Peter said, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. And you remember what Christ said to him? Thou art Peter. And on this rock, you see the rock of your spiritual life, not good works. And later in the same passage, the Lord Jesus Christ will say to his disciples, very soon, the Son of Man, the Lord Jesus Christ, is going to be crucified by the hands of the Gentiles. And he will die on the cross of Calvary to pay the price for every person who will believe in him. So can I call you to the same? There is only one rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. In Isaiah 26, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Christ is called the rock of our salvation. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 8, so many passages where we see that Christ is indeed the rock in whom we should believe. The Lord Jesus is the rock upon which we should build our lives by faith. He laid down his life for sinners. Do you really care for your soul? You know, a foundation is not visible. The same with the Lord Jesus Christ. I cannot show him to you tonight. But you know, he is present. He is here by his Spirit. If you believe in him, if you come to him, he gives you that salvation. He will be your protector and he will be your savior. He will be your provider. And you can face the storms of life, the floods of tragedy, the winds of adversity. They will test you, but you will stand forever. The good news is that you will never stand alone. You are on firm ground. Oh, what does it mean to build your life on Christ? Just as a house rests on a foundation, let your heart and your life rest upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Depend on him. Yield your life unto him. Obey his teaching. Obey the gospel. Repent from all your sins. Say, Lord, I cry unto thee. Help me, Lord. I'm a wretched sinner. And outside Christ, there is only fall. Outside Christ, there is ruin. But you come to him, you know the term? You will be redeemed. Redeemed, saved, set free. Sin will not have dominion over you. You will have a new nature. You will have a new heart. God will hear your prayers. You will be a member of the greatest and the biggest and the richest family in the world. That's what Christ does when you come to him. Oh, the rock of ages was smitten for our sins. Christ will become the anchor of your soul. In his blood, you have a security and a firm foundation. So may the Lord help you. I wish I could say more. We are slaves of time, but I think this is sufficient to help you to understand you have a spiritual life. Christ is the foundation. His word is the foundation. Your repentance is the foundation. You repent, your life will be built on solid ground. And God will never forsake you. He will protect you against many things happening in this world. Why do you need a house? For security, for protection, for rest, for peace, for privacy. And Christ will give you all that. But even more, if you come to him tonight, he will give you everlasting life. Everlasting life. Can I read this passage again to close? Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ. He paid the price. Let's pray together. Our gracious and heavenly Father, O Lord, we cry for thy help. We cry, Lord, for salvation. O Lord, what can we do to arrest and to stop a sinner on whom such disaster, such crash and fall and tragedy will fall upon? But we plead with thee, Lord, thou art still saving souls, and we pray that a sinner will turn unto thee, if not many, that there is indeed a solid rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave his life for me and for every sinner who will put his trust in him. O Lord, move mightily in the midst of thy people. We pray these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Let's close our time together by singing that great hymn, hymn number 506. My hope is built on nothing less.